the Good Shepherd. You know, we're not familiar per se with shepherd and sheep unless you live next maybe to a farm where there is a shepherd who shepherds sheep. Let's go ahead and put up that first. That was a tongue twister there a little bit. Let's put up that first picture. I love this imagery of Jesus. And it's built a lot off of the Old Testament as well, because in the Old Testament, God was the shepherd of Israel, his people. And shepherding and being a shepherd also became good imagery for leaders, because the Jewish people had good shepherds who were leaders, and they had false prophets, false teachers, leaders who treated them poorly. But the whole imagery of the shepherd, that he cares, that he protects, that he leads, that he guides, that he loves his sheep, because they are his. They know, as we're going to look at, the shepherd's voice, and the shepherd knows them, watching over them. That whole imagery, even though we can't go down the street per se necessarily and find a shepherd and sheep, we have this idea, and maybe a father and mother who care for their kids, who love their kids, who love their family, who protect them, guide them, lead them, direct them, love them no matter what. All these different characteristics of what a shepherd did for his sheep. How far he was willing to go. And so we're going to be looking at John chapter 10 today. Whereas Jesus has throughout the Gospel of John so far and continues to, he's trying to help the people he's speaking to and us today understand the deeper truths of what he means when he says, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, how it pertains to him. And so he does the same today, and he's walking on very familiar ground with the people he's speaking to. They would have understood sheep and shepherds more than we would. They would have seen them, understood that. And so in the first six verses, Jesus begins to talk to him about that, how he is the gate, how he is the door, how he, this shepherd, leads his sheep. They hear his voice and not his. They don't follow the voice of a stranger. But then in verse 6, the people still understand what Jesus is trying to say to them. So, as he always does, because he wants people to understand who he is and what that means for their lives, he takes them further. And that's where we pick up the passage today in verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, and there that is again. I'm making a point here. I want you to understand this. I want you to get this, Jesus says. Because I don't want you to leave or just walk away as the crowd and not know what I'm trying to get you to understand about me and who I am, how much I love you and care for you. Truly, truly, or some versions say, verily, verily, zone in. Listen to what I'm saying. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door. This is the first I am statement. Or yours may say the gate of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. There's several things, important things, here in these verses that we need to talk about for a few moments. First off, the fact that Jesus is the door or the gate. That was significant. Let's go to this next picture. Even today, if you go to the Middle East, you will find these in some of the fields. This is a walled enclosure where a shepherd at night will herd his sheep into this. And this one's actually worn down a little bit. But the wall would normally come around all the way here, and there'd be like a doorway of an opening on either side. It's about waist-high stone wall. And at night, the shepherds will take their sheep in there to protect them from wolves, from thieves, from predators. And at the door, they would either put thorn brussels or the shepherd himself will stand there or lay there so that if anybody wants to get in or out, they have to go through the shepherd. And that's the imagery that he's talking about here with Jesus being the door or the gate. And it kind of has a double meaning to it a little bit. One is, if sheep go in and out, they are always under the watchful eye and care of the shepherd. He sees them as they go out to green pastures and quiet waters. He sees them as they return in, because they have to go through him in a sense, the true shepherd, the good shepherd. But there's also another meaning to this, which we're actually going to look at in a couple weeks, which ties into the fact that Jesus is the only way in or out. John 14:6, which we'll look at in a couple weeks. He's it. You will be saved. It says it right there. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He is the true shepherd, the true leader above all for those who follow Christ. We're going to talk about that more in a couple weeks, but that's the other significance of this. But he stands either in the walled enclosure or in the door of it, the gate of it, so he can see us, always in his watchful eye, being the only way in and out, only way you can be saved. But notice here as well, we can go back, Scott, to the verse, yeah. The sheep did not hear the thieves and robbers, so they recognize the voice of the shepherd, Jesus. They know his voice. And when the thieves and robbers come in and start talking or trying to lead them, they're like, that's not the voice of the shepherd that we know. How do we recognize God's voice? Do you know God's voice this morning when he speaks to you? He speaks, his word is his primary way that he speaks to you. And it's so important that we're in his word every day, so that his voice is filling our mind and heart. Because there's a lot of voices in the world. There's a lot of shepherds, a lot of leaders who want your attention, who want you to follow them, who want you to buy into what they're selling. And we can easily drift like a ship without an anchor and just wander if we don't know the shepherd's voice, know who God is, that he is always going to speak consistent with who he is and his word. And all the more in the political season, oh my goodness, there's a lot more voices out there. Whose voice are you following? How do you recognize the voice of God? Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. He says, beware of false prophets, those who say they're sent by God to speak for me, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Who do you listen to in your life? Who are your leaders, your influencers? Jesus is very clear that there are those out there who God did not send per se to lead you and guide you, but as we will see here, has other motivations and intentions for you. So he says, know my voice. And even if you go to shepherds today in the Middle East, I was reading this week just about, there are sometimes shepherds, they will bring their two flocks into one of those walled enclosures together, and they will take turns, you know, keeping watch or laying in the door of the gate. And when they pull their sheep out, the sheep know who their shepherd is. They don't follow the other one. And sometimes those shepherds will use like a flute, you know, the Pied Piper, an old nursery rhyme. They'll use like a musical instrument. And the sheep recognize that as well. That's the shepherd's voice. So precisely and intimately, they know the shepherd's voice. How do you recognize God's voice in your life? Are you daily spending time with him, allowing his word to overflow within you and out from you. So that when you hear those other voices out there that say God is this and say God is that, you go, no, that is not God. Because I know him. I know his voice. I know his character. Jesus continues. Verse 10 talks more about these thieves and robbers. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He draws a contrast here. These thieves and robbers, this is what their intentions are for you. They're not to care for you. They're to destroy you. These voices, these other leaders that may be influencing your life, if what they say does not line up with God's word or who he is, you need to discern that and see what are their intentions for you and I. Because the enemy, and there are people out there who that's what they want to do to you, to me. But Jesus says, I came that they may have life. Life full and abundant, eternal, overflowing, restoration, healing, hope, not destruction. Putting us back together, restoring our souls. But these other leaders, shepherds, want destruction for us. Are there people in your life today who are seeking that for you? To steal, kill, and destroy you. You know, there's this saying, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I think there's truth to that. The people we surround ourselves with are influencers, people we listen to and take advice from. Where are they leading you? Wide is the way to destruction. Narrow is the path to life, Jesus says. Think about who are the influencers in your life. You know, we often talk about teens, you know, peer pressure. Yeah, that's part of it, but guess what? I've seen adults and who they have around them. And sadly, I watch where they go. Watch who they listen to. We need to be careful. I encourage you to look at your circle of friends, your circle of influence in your life. Who are you really following? You know, it's from talk radio to social media anymore. You know, I have a Twitter account, and Twitter's pretty open. You know, if you're on Twitter, anybody can try and follow you, and you can follow them. And, you know, I have to really watch, because there are some people who follow me. I have no idea who they are. But as I look at their profile picture or something they say, you know, like, I don't want to follow them. Where is that going to take me? You look at the book of Proverbs. One of the themes of the book of Proverbs is the wisdom of God. And it talks about the voice of wisdom calling out to go this way and the voice of folly calling out to go this way. It's the same principle. Whose voice? Are we going to follow wisdom, the wisdom of God, or are we going to follow folly? And its end is death. Just like these thieves and robbers in our lives. Just like the enemy who comes knocking. Jesus wants life for you, restoration and hope, not death and destruction. I encourage you to think about that. Your circle of friends, who are you really following in your life, in your real life Twitter? Jesus continues, this is where we get his second I am statement that we're focusing on today. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He was a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming. And leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. Part of what Jesus is talking about here is the religious leaders of the day. I didn't send them as your leaders. They are leading you in a different direction. They don't care about you. The Pharisees. Because he says here in this verse 11 as well as four times in the next verse, next several verses we're going to look at, that the most important trait of a shepherd is that he's willing to lay down his life for his sheep, which Jesus did. He's willing to stand there in that door and gate, come wild animal, beast, whatever shows up, and not run and not flee, but stand and fight for you and with you as a shepherd would, and give his life for all of us, for all of humanity. Because again, a contrast here, the hired hand doesn't care. They're not his sheep. Oh, trouble's coming. I'm out of here. I'm running. And the wolf grabs the sheep, snatches them, and scatters them all. And he flees because he's a hired hand. He doesn't care. It shows Jesus' dedication, devotion, deep care and concern for his sheep. That no matter the circumstance, he will stand there with us. No matter if it's us getting ourselves, digging our own hole, or maybe it's the choices of others, or maybe we're in a battle, maybe it's spiritual, he stands there with us. Because of his sacrificial love, willing to give everything for us. His deep care and concern. No one will ever love you like Jesus. My love for my wife is not perfect because I still have sin. Because Jesus is perfect and holy and just, no one will love you like Jesus. No one will care for you and be committed to you like Jesus because he's perfect. And we are to model that and love people and be people and own up if we screw up. But there is no one in this world who will love you and care for you like Jesus does. No one. Because he's willing to give his life for you. So whatever you're struggling with today, no matter how insignificant you may think it is, he cares. If you're in a fight today, he cares. And his rod and his staff, may it bring you comfort. He will stay with you in the battle and not run when the thieves and robbers and wolves come. So know he's there. You're not alone. You're not all alone. Don't believe that lie. You're also not alone because pray you have people around you who are pointing you to him and praying for you. Verse 14 and 15, Jesus says it again, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and there it is again, I lay down my life for my sheep, for the sheep. What's really cool here is not only is it deep care and concern, but it's deep knowledge, intimate, personal, that personal relationship we talk about. Jesus knows his own sheep. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what you're scared of. He knows your frustrations. He knows your aches. He knows your pains. He knows your joys. He knows when you just don't want to get up in the morning. He knows when you're tired and ready to throw in the white flag. He knows you so deeply and intimately, and he loves you and cares for you. And my own know me. If you were to, and this is a personal question for each one of you, for us all to think about, how deeply do you know Jesus? Part of our mission is to help people grow closer to him. How deep and intimate have you worked the soil? Are your roots going deeper? Is your plant of your life growing stronger and bigger as you grow more in love with Jesus in your life? He is committed to you. Because again, the bad shepherd, the bad leader, the false leader doesn't care. It's just going to run. And you know, one of the things, the flip side of the coin of a shepherd, you know, sometimes we can focus on the fact that gentle, caring, loving, absolutely valid. That is who God is. That's part of the role of a shepherd. But we forget that a shepherd's job is tiring, hazardous, and it can be dangerous. Because the shepherd is the one who, when the wolf or bear comes, fights for us. Old Testament says the Lord is a mighty warrior. He will fight. He is a fierce and formidable friend when we're in the battle, when the enemy comes, when the thieves and robbers come and try and steal, kill, and destroy us. He stands there with us. So it's a more full picture of Jesus as the good shepherd. It's not just a cuddly guy holding sheep that we often see pictures of. It's a God who stands with us. The rod and the staff are there to protect and guide. And he will stand and fight with you if you're in a battle, because that's who he is. All pieces of who God is. We can't just take one or the other. And sometimes we can overemphasize, overfocus on one of them, but we gotta take the whole picture of who God is. And this is part of who God is as the good shepherd. He'll fight with us, alongside us, because it's by his power and strength that we do battle. Put on the full armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord. Maybe sometimes we're losing the battle because we're not relying on our shepherd. Especially when the enemy comes. When the wolves come. Are you in a battle today? No, your good shepherd is with you and you're not alone. It might not even be a battle against a thief or robber or enemy. It may be you be battling with yourself about how you feel or where you are. Don't believe the lies. Turn to your good shepherd who loves you, cares for you, will protect you and speak truth to you in your life about who you are. Jesus continues in verse 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. And this is Jesus speaking about his worldwide mission, that the sheep he has, that's not it. There's more. They're going to hear and know my voice. They're going to come to know me as their good shepherd. And there will be one flock. It won't matter what nationality you're from. It won't matter what language you speak. It won't matter what color you are. None of it matters. One shepherd. Christ. One flock. His sheep. And that's our call, because God is making his appeal through us, that the world would be reconciled to God. We're the messenger that God sends. Each one of us, if you know him this morning, it's not an option. Go and make disciples. Who in your life are you sharing Christ with? You're praying about sharing Christ with? Verses 17 and 18, as Jesus closes up this section we're going to look at this morning. It says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. You know, all this that happened to Christ, his death and resurrection, it didn't surprise God. It was all a part of God's plan. As Jesus himself walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he was being obedient to God and his plan. He's not some victim of human conspiracies that all of a sudden these religious leaders concocted this plan. It was all under the umbrella of God's sovereignty. Like we see in plays sometimes, Jesus was not just a martyr who died in a tragedy, but he has the power and authority voluntarily by his power and authority to lay down his life, to give his life, but also to raise it up again in resurrection. God is in control. Not Satan, not humans, God. And in your life, it can feel at times that it's the other way around in my life. Especially when we look at our world, when we look at everything that happens at times, especially now, and we can think, is God not in control? God is in control. God knows what he's doing. If he is willing to let his son come voluntarily and say, I'll go to die for humanity that is in sin and darkness, I will take the worst hell can do to me and conquer death itself, and have the authority to take my life back up again in resurrection and be victorious. Jesus took the worst humanity could do, and he came out in victory. And the same is true for us. This world can do the worst to us, but it cannot take our souls. Do not fear those. Do not fear those humans. Fear those. Fear him who can destroy body and soul in hell, Jesus said. Me. Don't fear what humans can do to you. And here is Jesus willing to lay down his life for us. And it calls us to trust and obey. Trust him. Trust our shepherd. That even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff will comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even when my enemies are all around, you're there in the thick of it with me, right beside me. And you're still in control. Even though I might not see it or understand it, when we dig that hole, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. Twice. What does that mean for you today? What does that mean for you? Do you need his tender care? Do you need to know that he loves you so much that he was willing to give his life for you and to raise it up again? So that no matter what you're walking through or may walk through, you can reign victorious. Do you need to know that as the good shepherd today, not only does he care for you so much, he cares for you so much that he will stand there with you and fight with you and for you in the battle of life, in the battle against the enemy of our souls. What does that mean for you today? Think about whose voice you're listening to, whose voice you're following. Who's your circle of influence? How much do you trust him in the midst of those times in the dark valley? Because he knows what it's like. Do you feel the strength of the good shepherd battling for you and with you in your life today? Maybe it's something else. I pray you know today that no one loves you and cares for you like Jesus does and always will, forever. Let's pray. God, we thank you today. Man, you are so good. We thank you that you are a good shepherd. And God, I don't know how you're speaking to everybody today, but I pray, Lord God, that we know your tender care, your commitment, how dedicated you are to us as your sheep, those who know your voice. Maybe we want to know your voice more. Maybe we want to just pour into your word, be in prayer. Because there's a lot of voices in the world now and always will be that will seek to influence us, that will seek to pull us to a different path, off the path you have for us. May we know your voice. May we cry out for it. May we seek it with all our heart. May we know your tender care and love for us, that you paid the ultimate price so that no matter what we face in this world, you know. And you come and fight with us and stand beside us. May your rod and staff bring us comfort. May you restore our souls where we are just broken and beaten. And we're beating ourselves up. As a shepherd would a sheep when they're wounded, he cares for the wounds, carries the sheep, put bandages on and ointment for our healing. May we know today no one will love us and care for us like you. You have such a deeper love for us that I pray we want more and more of every day. So as we move to this next moment, may we remember that you paid the greatest sacrifice and price for us. You're not a hired hand. It's not your job. It's because you love us so much that you gave your life for us, for humanity. So instead of following the voices that want to steal, kill, and destroy us, you want us to have life and restoration and hope and joy and peace in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.